there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it makes me tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
So I prepared a sermon this morning to give underneath the wide open sky at daybreak. And I gave that sermon, and you're going to hear it again. So, what I would like you to do, if you would be so kind, is to imagine now that there is no wall, perhaps there. Is that the right wall I'm thinking of? And that you can have a beautiful view right now of the mountain as I am giving this sermon. Does that make sense? Okay. The sun is coming up right over there. Yeah. We are out in the open, beneath the wide open sky. The sky stretches above us into the distance where the great mountain describes for us the gentle swoop of the horizon. Only moments ago, the darkness of night lifted, and with the rising of the sun, so too our hearts also rise, trembling with the hope of a new day. Sunrise. At sunrise, we gather to worship God and remember Christ's resurrection. Some of our religious traditions seem a little awkward sometimes. The danger is that the tradition itself can seem to be more important sometimes than the God that we worship. But the Easter sunrise service is not like that. The Easter sunrise service is an elegant way to worship. What, I ask you, speaks to us of renewed life more eloquently than the rising sun? What, I ask you, brings us out of the darkness more quietly and more perfectly than the rising sun? A miracle that occurs each day. The immensity and the essential beauty of God's creation appears without effort when, each morning, the sun touches the hills and the valleys with light. The chickadees and the finches chatter and sing, and darting across the backyards as they head towards our feeders. And this is a true story. When I said this next line at the cathedral, the loons started to sing on the lake. It was amazing. Out on the lake, the loon pops its head above the surface of the water, sees the light, and dives down again. There is an old man down at the shoreline, placing his bait and tackle down into the ribbed belly of his canoe. Morning has broken. And every green thing beneath the dome of sky begins once again to absorb the energy from that distant star. All we have to do is wake up in time, and it occurs before our very eyes, this astonishing miracle of a new day. There is nothing virtual about this reality. There's not any flat screen necessary to see it. There are no helicopters necessary. It happens here and now, every morning. life awakens. And we, dear friends, are here to witness it. Can't you see it? And when we worship outdoors like we are now, under the sky, at sunrise, we experience an essential beauty. And if we truly allow the awakening of life that God gives us to touch our souls, we tremble. We tremble with the joy of resurrection. And we tremble with the memory of darkness. Were you there when the sun refused to shine? Were you there when the sun refused to shine? Oh, sometimes it makes me tremble. Were you there when the sun refused to shine? The song that I've been singing is an old slave spiritual. It's a song that is filled with wrenching soulfulness. Singing such a song makes me feel the blood in my veins. Singing such a song tells me that suffering is unavoidable, but so too is beauty. When this old slave spiritual entitled "Were You There?" was included in the Episcopal Church's 1940 hymnal, it became the first African-American spiritual to be printed in a hymnal that was not specifically designed for African-American congregations. So in this sense, it is a historic song. But in another sense also, it is a historic song in a more organic sense, because like most slave spirituals, long before it ever made it into a hymnal, "Were You There?" lived for generations in the oral tradition of the slave community. You see, unlike us this morning, slaves were not allowed to worship together in the light of day, unless their owners were there to oversee it. And worshiping God beneath the watchful eyes of the slave owners did not feel like worship. And so after the long and brutal days of working in the fields, slaves would gather together when the lights in the big house were out, and they would run to the hidden ravines and the secluded clearings deep inside the woods, where together they would worship God in their own way. These places, these secret, sacred places of worship, were called hush harbors. And it was here, deep in the woods, under the moon and stars, that many slave spirituals were born. These spirituals were not composed on manuscript paper. They were not printed in hymnals or bulletins. These songs were not written, they were born. They were born from longing and from fatigue. They were born from fear and from courage. They were born from hope that burned as embers in the hearts of the worshipers. The song itself is deceptively simple. It is built on six questions and a repeated refrain, and the six questions lead us deftly through the stages of Christ's passion, death, and resurrection. And while each question confronts us with the horror of Christ's death, the repeated refrain does not, as one might suspect, remind us of that Christ died for our sins. The old slave spiritual is interested in Christ, but is not interested in the idea that Christ's sacrifice paid a debt for human sin. What, then, is the old slave spiritual interested in? Since the old slave spiritual grew out of suffering, it recognized suffering. And when it recognized suffering, how did it respond? It responded by trembling. If you see a man hanging on a tree with nails through his hands and his feet, and you see him dying, there is only one response. You tremble. And when you see a man tied to a tree and whipped to death because he ran for freedom, there is only one response. You tremble. And when you come upon the body of a young Syrian refugee washed up on the beach, there is only one response. You tremble. Were you there when they rolled away the stone? Were you there when they rolled away the stone? Oh, sometimes it makes me tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they rolled away the stone? As John's gospel tells it, Mary Magdalene was the first one to arrive at the tomb after Christ's crucifixion. Mary went to the tomb where she saw that the stone had been taken away. In one of the more peculiar moments in the Bible, Mary sees Jesus but doesn't recognize him. For a moment, she thinks that the risen Jesus is the gardener. How odd. It's almost comical. Why would she think he was the gardener? Now, let us keep in mind that Mary Magdalene had very recently witnessed her beloved Lord dying a brutal death on the cross. She has not yet emerged from the shadow of the cross. Her soul is in the hush harbor. Because she was there. She was there when they crucified her Lord. Having seen the dying man, she is unprepared to see the risen Lord. She does not recognize him. She does not recognize God until God calls her by name. Worship happens in the depths of the night, in hush harbors, and worship happens in the open, beneath the broad, awakening sky. There are two kinds of trembling. We tremble when we recognize suffering, and we tremble when we feel the awakening of joy. Easter trembles at the intersection of deep suffering and unexpected joy. Jesus meets us at this intersection, calling us by name. Easter, then, is the essential moment of Christian faith. It is on Easter that we finally recognize the truth with unmistakable certainty, the truth that somehow Jesus is both the man who suffered and the God who returned to call us by name. On Easter morning, the light peeks over the horizon and reveals to us a miraculous reality that we live within, but we do not notice. That God is with us in our suffering, and God is with us in our joy. To pretend that Christianity is a feel-good religion is to ignore the cross. To pretend that Christianity is an easy and entertaining way of life that gives us all the answers is to ignore the reality, the passion of the hush harbor. As Christians, we tremble in the shadows of the cross. But it is equally true that Christianity does not end at the cross. Just as the sun awakens the world with light, Christ returns and calls us by our names. And when you hear your name called by God, there is only one response. You tremble. Amen.